Our readings of the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ are from the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 18th and 19th chapters. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed Jesus, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas, having procured a band of soldiers and some officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, went there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that would happen to him, came forward and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. So he asked them again, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So if you seek me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, "Of those whom you gave me, I have lost not one." Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?" So the band of soldiers and their captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. First they led him to Annas, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had advised the Jews that it would be expedient that one man should die for the people. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he entered with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood outside at the door. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the servant girl who kept watch at the door and brought Peter in. The servant girl at the door said to Peter, "You also are not one of this man's disciples, are you?" He said, "I am not." Now the servants and officers had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing and warming themselves. Peter also was with them, standing and warming himself. The high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. Jesus answered him, "I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in synagogues and in the temple, where all Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. They know what I said." When he had said these things, one of the officers standing by struck Jesus with his hand, saying, "Is that how you answer the high priest?" Jesus answered him, "If what I said is wrong, bear witness about the wrong. But if what I said is right, why do you strike me?" Annas then sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. So they said to him, "You also are not one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter again denied it, and at once a rooster crowed. Then they led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled, but could eat the Passover. So Pilate went outside to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered him, "If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." The Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken, to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him, but you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" They cried out again, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die, because he has made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar." So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the Stone Pavement, and in Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, "Behold your king." They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So he delivered him over to them to be crucified. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The plan was to always have three crucifixions on Good Friday. That was the plan. Three criminals had committed crimes worthy of death. Two of them were thieves. We don't know what they stole, but Pontius Pilate wanted to show everyone in Jerusalem what happens to anyone who even thinks of stealing in Jerusalem. So these two thieves would be crucified and slowly die a horrible death as a warning to all the people. And then there was the third person set to die on Good Friday. This person was especially unique. This third person to be crucified would be right in the middle with a thief on either side. But this person wasn't Jesus. No, the person who was supposed to be crucified in the middle with a thief on each side was a man named Barabbas. Pontius Pilate was looking forward to having Barabbas crucified. Barabbas took part in an insurrection against the government. Barabbas did not like the government, so he led an armed rebellion with men who felt strongly like him, that they were doing the right thing. They charged forward and tried to change the government. And as they wrestled with soldiers from the government, it sounds like Barabbas killed one of them. He may have even killed a few of them. Barabbas not only rebelled against the government God put in place, but Barabbas had also taken the life from someone God had given life to. Because of all this, Barabbas was going to be crucified. Barabbas would have a large wooden beam laid on his back. He would carry that beam through the streets of Jerusalem while people laughed at him and spit on him. Barabbas was going to carry that cross beam up a hill to Golgotha. He would lay it down on the ground, and then he would lay on top of it. Soldiers would tie his arms to that beam and then hammer nails through his wrists into the wood. And then the soldiers would lift that beam into the place. And then they would press his feet against the center pole and hammer nails into it as well. This is what Barabbas was going to go through on Good Friday. Barabbas had sinned. And now Barabbas was going to die for his sin. The plan was to have three crucifixions on Good Friday. That was the plan. But sometimes plans change. The Jewish leaders arrested Jesus and brought him to Pontius Pilate. They wanted Jesus killed. The Gospel of Mark said this. Now at the feast, Pontius Pilate used to release for the Jews one prisoner for whom they asked. And among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in the insurrection, there was a man called Barabbas. And the crowd came up and began to ask Pilate to do as he usually did for them. And he answered them, saying, "Do you want me to release for you the King of the Jews?" But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release for them Barabbas instead. And Pilate again said to them, "Then what shall I do with the man you call the King of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." And Pilate said to them, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found in him no guilt deserving death." But they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, for whom they asked. But he delivered Jesus over to be crucified. Barabbas goes free. Jesus dies in his place. An insurrectionist goes free. Jesus dies in his place. Barabbas, a murderer, goes free. And Jesus dies in his place. You can say that on Good Friday, Jesus literally died in the place of Barabbas. Jesus bore the punishment of Barabbas' cross and made it his own. Barabbas was the first person Jesus died for. But Barabbas certainly wasn't the last, was he? When the Apostle Paul wrote to the Church of Rome, Paul reminded them and all of us that Jesus did not just die on the cross in the place of Barabbas. Jesus died on the cross in the place of all of us. This is what Paul wrote. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So we go free. Jesus dies in our place. We, who may have murdered in our life, we who may have murdered in our hearts, definitely by hating someone at some point, we go free. And Jesus dies in our place. We go free who have committed sexual immorality in the flesh and in the mind. We go free. Jesus dies in our place. We who slander our own family members. We who speak ill of our neighbors, and even our neighbors here in the church. We who flap our lips away too much, saying the most vile things about other people in the world, we are the ones who go free. Jesus dies in our place. Because of us, because of our sin, Jesus chooses to have a large wooden beam laid on his back. He carries that beam through the streets of Jerusalem while people laughed at him and spit on him. Jesus carries that cross beam up a hill to Golgotha. Jesus lays the beam down. He lays on top of it. Soldiers tie his arms to that beam and hammer nails through his wrists into the wood. When the beam is lifted into place, they press his feet against the center pole and hammer nails into his feet as well. That should be us on the cross, but it isn't. It is Jesus. And it is Jesus for one simple reason. Jesus wants to bear the punishment for our sin for us. He bears the punishment, so we don't. It should be Barabbas on that cross, but it's not. It's Jesus. And that's just what Jesus wanted. And it should be us up on that cross. But it's not. It's Jesus. And that is exactly what Jesus wanted. Amen. And now may the peace of our God, which surpasses our understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Our readings of the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ continues from the 19th chapter of the Gospel of John. So they took Jesus, and he went out, bearing his own cross, to the place called the Place of a Skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write, 'The King of the Jews,' but rather, 'This man said, I am King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled, "Not one of his bones will be broken." And again, another scripture says, "They will look on him whom they have pierced." After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen cloths with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there.